Well, this is James Grunvig with Decentralized.media. Yep, here on Friday before CERN on unrestricted warfare. Why is it unrestricted warfare? Because I believe Monday is like the beginning of the opportunity for people to exit the matrix and for the globalists and the Canaanites to keep people in the matrix. So it's really this eclipse that's coming is a combination of both. It's eventually going to lead to, in my opinion, violence in the streets. Right? That has to happen in order to activate the military law of war mandate. If you didn't see my show last night with Rich Germeau, you need to go see it because we walk through the plan. We talk about the military under the Constitution be called under three different ways. And obviously with foreign invaders plus insurrectionists, and we know who the insurrection ones, the one that created the J6 committee, the ones that created the false flag with the FBI, the ones that stole the election, right? The ones that pushed the COVID vaccines. Those are the insurrectionists. Not Trump, not MAGA, not any of those people. They're going down, and they're going to try desperately, A, to keep Trump out of here, B, to keep most of you people still in your dumb, stupefied, normie sheep mentality, right? They're going to scare you with a, oh no, bird flu. It's 100 times worse than COVID. And you see that the poorest blanketed everywhere on everything, on every media outlet, on Fox News, New York Post, right? Everyone is chirping CDC. Everyone's scared except me. I'm not scared. I don't think my guest, Josh Romero, is scared because he's seen worse stuff down in Peru. You know, and we covered that a couple of months ago, and that was an amazing story, right? About reversed engineered UFO entity technology, whatever it was, but it was an incredible story. And we're going to get into it in a minute, but let me start off with a couple of videos. No PowerPoint deck today. No time. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Project Bluebeam, minute and a half. Watch.
Begin to end.
Look at this. One eye appeared in the sky. This is
was fun. I tell you, you know what's great? I moved out of New York City, so I don't have to deal with the lights in New York City interfering with a beautiful sky show like that, which is Project Bluebeam, right? It's not a natural phenomenon. It's not part of the eclipse. It's nothing like that. The sun doesn't cause that. The the aurora borealis doesn't cause that, right? The north lights, none of that stuff causes that. Because I've been up in Iceland and Norway long, in my past. I've seen the shimmering lights of the Valkyrie, right? The Norse maidens. Really, it's just a magnetic light show, right? With the sun and everything else in winter. So it's all interesting, but I'm not scared about any of this stuff. I don't smoke weed because it makes me an introvert, but I do have vodka and beer in case that happens in the next couple of weeks. You never know with the globalists. They're gonna give us this great Project Bluebeam show, whether it's alien invasion, whether it's something like that, or whether it's Jesus Christ coming to save us, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to join myself. I'll be outside in the pool. Josh Romero, great to see you, man.
Great to see you, sir. Great to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Phil, let's talk about this video you just saw and Project Bluebeam. Then we'll get an introduction with you in a minute. Go ahead.
Sure thing. No, clearly, it's predictive programming. They're getting people ready for, you know, seeing incredible things in the sky and making sure they buy it because they're prepping their psyche for the event. Whatever it is, it wouldn't necessarily be that, but they're getting people to believe the incredible. And I just started watching that show, and I've been seeing a lot of little Easter eggs for predictive programming for Project Bluebeam, world government, changing society, driving society in the direction that they want to take it.
Right, and, so, there's a new net. I don't have Netflix. Never watched Netflix. I don't like do Disney or Netflix. I know it's Cabal Central, so I don't support them in any size, shape, or form. Never did. Never went to Disney, not as a kid, and that never took my kid there.
Yeah.
In fact, he hates all the Disney characters, which is interesting. He's autistic, nonverbal, and yet he never liked any of them, which tells me something very interesting. He's more in tune with what's really going on in the world than anybody else. And I as a child, and I found that interesting. He's 24 years old now, but for the last 20 years, he stayed away. So it was great relief for me because I never had to take him to freaking Disneyland. I love that fact about my life raising him. Right, with his disorder syndrome, whatever it is. But what's interesting, Netflix this week is coming out with a new movie, alien movie, of course, or Project Bluebeam called Gray. So that's coming out. And then next Thursday on the 11th is the Civil War movie, right? The modern Civil War movie, which is going to have a bunch of journalists telling the president, you're not going to shoot Americans, are you? Well, the difference between 2020 and 2024 is, Back in the George Floyd days of color revolution, they were BLM and Antifa and thugs and criminals and druggies and whatever. They were destroying cities, but they were American citizens. Now we're going to have American citizens that I just mentioned, plus an all-star cast of international terrorists, rebels from Yemen, Syria, Afghanistan, Iran. They all hate America. Venezuelan gangs, right? The Chinese PLA claimed as many, anywhere from 2 to 5 million here, whatever. But those are foreign invaders. So what's different between this year and 4 years ago is clear to me. Go to Law of War manual. It was promulgated 2 days before Trump came down the escalator. Trump came down the escalator on his birthday on June 14, 2015. It was a Sunday. And the general counsel for the DOD promulgated, which means updated, went through the process for the next 18 months. They made an announcement to update the Law of War manual to international standards that would include expansion of Gitmo, right? The expansion of other tribunal facilities in Guam, Diego Garcia, in the United States, down in Temple, Texas, and other places that I don't know about. And, you know, they're ready to rock and roll. So real interesting that no one's ever put two and two together, but on page 755, the Law of War manual, which I read directly yesterday, it states that at some point when the safety of the army and society are in danger, the army will take over. Doesn't have to be martial law, by the way. Does not have to be that. But they will be then the highest court in the land, highest law enforcement in the land. They'll be, you'll actually see them on the street. So that's the difference between 2024 and 2020. The Law of War manual will be activated at some point this year. They'll come in and kick ass. But between now and then, Josh, as you mentioned, there is going to be a lot of danger. Go ahead.
Yes, no, there's a lot of danger. And I do agree we shouldn't be supporting a lot of these projects, like all these predictive programming, revelation of the method type of programs. I do like to watch them because there's a lot of, it tells me what they're planning for the future. But I have made it a point that I will not watch any Civil War movies. I will not watch any kind of like Leave the World Behind programs like that. Because I think that's the first thing that's coming down the pipe, the civil unrest. And once they get people rattled off enough and you have enough civil unrest, then they hit you with the alien invasion, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. They're going to get people really scared, put them in danger. People will die. I'm not saying they're not going to die. They're going to die.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, yes.
It's why I left New York City 3 years, because I didn't want to be in a line of fire. Plus, I couldn't protect my autistic son 18 stories up on an island called Manhattan. When they shut down the bridges and tunnels, I'm screwed. Right. I mean, I figured that out 4 years ago.
It's the worst place to be. It's a rat maze. Literally, you're trapped in a rat maze.
Yeah. I loved the city before COVID, but after, no, thank you. I don't want any part of it. So I want to play this, because we're going to talk about CERN in a minute. So this is a Genesis song. There's Genesis with Phil Collins. That's like the second version, late 70s, 80s, 90s. But there was a pre-Genesis with Peter Gabriel plus Genesis. That was the original band from 68 to 75 or so, or 73. And there's a great song called Cinnamon Show. And I'm going to play just a little bit of it. Why? So I don't want people to get into the mood of what? Into the mood. It's a 10-minute song, so I'm not going to play it that long, but I'm going to go to a really good part. Now, why did I play that? If you go to the first half of the song, Cinema Show, it goes through a nice, slow, gradual buildup. It gets into this part where I just played in the middle about 6 to 8 minutes, and it really builds up, right? And then in the last, it's a crescendo. Why am I doing this? Because CERN can be used for many things. It could be just a psyop, CERN, right? It could be a ritual thing. They could try to open a portal. But then there's something else different that I talked to somebody this week, and he mentioned the fact that we have so much chemtrail worldwide in the sky, so much metallic shape there, right? There are military applications for it. I won't go into it. Everyone thinks we're getting poisoned like bugs. Well, we kind of are. But it also, with all that metal in the sky, it could technically, with CERN, maybe, that would be the movie screen, the cinema show in the sky, and that may or may not, you know, interact with the eclipse. I can't say, but Project Bluebeam could actually be snuck in somehow on Monday. I'm just throwing that out there. Josh, your thoughts?
It's definitely a possibility. I read papers back in the late 90s, early 2000s of HARP, if we all remember HARP, when it was being run by University of Alaska, which they said they turned it back on. I do believe that the University of Alaska is running it, but I think they have something much more advanced than HARP. Anyways, HARP was meant to ignite the heat up the upper atmosphere, the ionosphere, right? Yep. And so if you, it had many uses, right? As a weapon, early warning system, sending communications, right? But that's only scratching the surface, right? Because if you look at an old TV from those, like two TVs from the before we got the big screen TVs, I forgot what they're
right.
called, but
the panel and stuff, right?
Yeah. You have, and so what are you doing? You have a cathode tube and it's shooting electrons into, right? And that's basically if I was going to use CERN, which is a particle accelerator, which a cathode, you have that cathode electron gun at the end, yep. Right? And you're shooting particles. Well, the atmosphere can act as a TV screen too. And if you have the technology, you could definitely do something like that. I agree with you.
And some people talk about the firmament right out of the Bible, yes. Right? Talk about this blue sky dome, and they talk about the northern lights reflecting off that. So that's a cinema show, and it's also thunder. Right. Thunder has to, in order for us to hear thunder, has to reverberate off something. So someone went into an empty farm silo a couple of years ago, and they just banged two pieces of metal together, and it rippled like thunder all the way up until it exited the top of the silo, 200 feet above. It was fascinating.
Well, for anyone that thinks that Project Bluebeam isn't real or it's kind of like a conspiracy theory, I spent 10 years in the United States Navy working with naval special warfare. I got exposed to a lot of things and got to meet a lot of really cool people. I was not an operator. I was a support personnel. I was a corpsman. I was a medic. But talking to somebody that I met in special operations, I don't even want to say what he did. This was after I left the Navy. I've been involved in research for the paranormal. And this guy, I told him what I was doing. And he's like, dude, I have a story to tell you. And I knew this guy for almost 10 years. And I said, what? And he's like, well, it's really, really weird story. They were in Nevada. They were near Area 51. And So the guys are out there. He's out there with the squad of guys doing whatever training they're doing out in the desert. They look out in the distance, way out in the horizon, and they see a horse, right? But this is miles away. And they see this horse. He said, Josh, this thing was like, at the horizon, it was as big as if I was looking at a real horse up close. But it was out in the horizon. And it was a real horse, but it was giant. And he turns to the guy next to him. He's like, and the guy goes like, are you seeing this? He's like, I thought I was hallucinating. And so they're looking at this thing, and he couldn't figure out what it was, right? This was in near Area 51. Years later, interacting with somebody that I know from the intelligence community, like pretty big up there, not only intelligence community, but with, let's say, other world projects. I told him this story, right, about the white horse that my friend saw at Area 51. And he goes, wow, that's really bad juju. Wow, that's weird. That's spooky, right? But his reaction was like so contrived. I didn't think of anything until later when I was like, wow, he was trying to redirect my attention. Like it was something paranormal.
Yeah, he was kind of like kind of brushing it off a little bit.
Yes, yes. And in reality, I bet you it was blue. They definitely 100%. I bet it was blue. And whether they were targeted, a group of special operations soldiers, to see what their reaction was to this event. But this guy I trust. I never known him to lie. He was telling me that he wanted to confide this, and I've been talking to him to get him to recount the experience in a documentary that we're working on. Because this is really important. Like I said, proof that, and not only that, but he said that the horse looked real. It didn't look like a hologram, like in Star Wars.
No. It's not 1970s film technology, yes. Not CGI at all. And in fact, there was, I don't know, it was Phil Schneider or another whistleblower that in the 1980s, he actually walked up to the hologram of like a, you know, SR-71 Blackbird plane, and wow, wasn't the plane itself, but knocked on it, and it was hard.
Yes.
And so there's a theory out there in 9/11 that no planes hit any buildings at all, right? We know it was a cruise missile or bunker buster that hit the Pentagon. That's clear. There was no plane at all in west of Pennsylvania. Nothing hit seven World Trade Center. Leaves the two towers left. Well, the first video was of a loud plane flying over Manhattan, heading from north to south into the North Tower, right? And a French crew happened to be there. I don't buy that. They were set up there by the CIA. Mm-hmm. They caught it. You hear the loud rumble, and they hit the plane. Except some person, computerized, picked up the exact spot of where they filmed this, the speed of the plane, and the distance to the World Trade Center, and said, no way, because the plane wasn't flying fast enough to hit it. You know, 10 seconds later, whatever the time was, it was physically impossible. It could not have happened, right? So at that point, he figured out that plane was a hologram and that there were two different shape charges in the North Tower. First was a loud bang. They always want the bang in there to you know, like magician, the spark of light to get your attention. And then they had explosive blowing out kind of an angled figure on the glass. Right, we know all the garbage from CNN and the other stuff back then was all CGI added in afterwards. We know that, but that plane itself, I believe, was a hologram. So it basically looked, felt, sounded like an actual plane, and it hit nothing.
No, absolutely. That I've heard those theories in the past, and I was the first one to say, no, that's impossible. That's crazy.
Not
as as I looked through the evidence. And I'm looking at what happened that day. I'm like, they used all sorts of exotic technology, including scalar energy weapons. Because that building, yes, they had detonations, but that building disintegrated in front of everybody's eyes.
Oh yeah, and there was 31 or 33 cars that were incinerated by Dew Weapon, which is a scalar weapon, which had nothing to do with any of the three buildings in Manhattan, right? That was a parking lot. A block, and how were they melted to the ground, right? Like they were in Maui, well, like they were in Chile recently, yes. Right? Like they were in a Texas panhandle. I mean, none of this made sense, right?
Yeah, that I believe 9/11 was like the primer to for the New World Order to.
It was a test.
It was
like a Swiss Army knife. It had multiple purposes. Yeah. It was a test to see what they can get away with psychology-wise, how they can control the media. It was to see how gullible the global masses are, right? It was to ram the Patriot Act through, right? They had to continue the fear with the anthrax attacks that basically killed 5 people over 3 months. I mean, more people, you know, die today in New York City getting mugged on a subway, 5 of them a day, than you know, 3 months back in 2001. So yes, the whole anthrax thing was also a psyop involved.
Absolutely, yes. No, and I'm glad that you're saying that it was a test for what's happening today, because people need to know that when these things start happening, they can only look in one direction for a culprit, right? Because we're going to be giving a lot of different kind of like suspects to go after. But in reality, it's one culprit that has been orchestrating and preparing this from the beginning.
Correct. Let's talk about, you know, this has been an incredible 10 days. We go back, we had on Monday, Puff Daddy, you know, the Epstein Island of the West, that was come out. The next thing you know, we had the Key Bridge collapsing in Baltimore, right? With the Dolly directly hitting it for a reason. So that was like, it changed the narrative immediately. But then we had HAARP absolutely, in my opinion, involved in the Taiwan earthquake. Why would I say that? Well, because right after the earthquake, China suddenly had 9 PLA ships, Navy ships, right off the coast of Taiwan at 30 aircraft in the air. So right after, literally after the 7.4 earthquake, China was at the front door. I go, there's no way that China knew that happened unless they were notified ahead of time.
Yeah, to mobilize, again, I was in the military, to mobilize that many troops and get, just to get them ready, whatever, like show force, still need a lot of time. So you just can't be like, oh, there was an earthquake, let's go over there right now. Grab your stuff.
No, it wasn't hospital ships and things. It was actually a show of force, like you said. You don't mobilize it instantly. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. But, you know, there's another HAARP apparently that's in Antarctica that's supposed to be the biggest in the world.
Yes. Yeah. It's the gentleman. I'm not too familiar with the technology. It's supposed to be a neutrino detector.
Yeah, his name's Eric Hecker, I think, or something.
Yes, Eric, yes.
And yeah, Eric, I spoke to him last summer. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I believe him. I completely believe him. I have a slight technical background, but not too. I'm not an expert or anything, but I do believe him that what he says is that those detectors can be switched into becoming weapons, right?
Correct.
And so I do believe him that, all of these things that are happening, I think it's part predictive programming, but also part inciting people, because I have noticed in the past couple of years that there has been a change in the consciousness of humans, where you're seeing a lot of people just snap and lose it. So the more you can start kind of seasoning the fruit, right? You're cooking it, and then you're putting a little more seasoning, and things like the Baltimore incident with the bridge, that same day people started sort of like panicking, going like, "Is this it? Is this the Black Swan event?" And I think the Black Swan event is going to be way, way bigger than just that.
No, the black, that was mislabeled. Yeah. That's not a Black Swan event.
Yeah.
Well, the Black Swan event is going to be a financial collapse followed by a false flag almost immediately.
Exactly, yes.
Because once Black Swan happens, people are going to blame in general the people in office, which is Biden and ever, and the Democrats and the media can't have that happen. So they immediately, and the cabal can't have that happen. So they immediately will have to come up with a false flag a day or two later in order, like they've done before, change your narrative. You had the Epstein Island on the 3rd of January, followed the next day by the aliens in the Miami Mall. You had Puff Daddy 2 weeks ago on a Monday, and the next day we had the Baltimore Bridge collapse. This is how they change the narrative.
Yes, no, absolutely, yes. But I will say that again, a lot of this is just if people can see through it, they can kind of detach themselves from the event, because part of their power is being able to drive the consciousness of humanity in a certain direction, and right now it's being driven to hysteria, right? So if you're conscious of what's happening and you prepare for it without an emotional attachment, then you take away a lot of their power.
So Josh, let's talk about that in Peru. right? You went down there, you met a group of a local indigenous people living way inland, way upriver. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no airport nearby. You had to take a 10-hour boat ride or something like that upriver to go meet with the villagers. You're only there for a day and a half or something because it took you a day and a half to get there and a day and a half to get back. But what's interesting is you're talking about the psychology of these kind of operations. So what was it like talking to the Peruvians, those indigenous people there? And did you feel that whatever was happening, it was sort of a psyop against the entire village people? Go ahead.
I'm starting to believe, as time goes by, I'm starting to believe exactly that these individuals acted in a way. They were, of course, they wanted to peel somebody's face, and that would have added a little bit more to the psychosis of the village. Yep. But talking to everybody, they were in hysteria. They were extremely afraid. There was a lot of PTSD with a lot of different people. The whole village was in a state of panic, and I feel like that's what this was. This was an event that they used technology, ultra tech, pretty much, right?
Yep.
Very advanced technology to cause hysteria in a small little group of people and see how badly they can drive them.
I think try to kidnap that one young teenage girl.
They try to kidnap her. They try to peel off her face, do a surgery in the middle of the jungle, of the Amazon jungle. But yes, it's I can see correlations between that and what's happening now with the overall globe, humanity.
I'm with you. What's interesting is I've done a lot of research into 5G before COVID, right? 5G was a threat. It's part behind it. You know, whether it's 5G/EMF, it's a microwave weapon at the end of the day, no matter what the frequency is. What's interesting, I believe the Alliance has neutralized the dangerous end of the spectrum for 5G. And okay. I think done it through Trump's tweet back in 2017, Covfefe, and everyone thought, what, can't the idiot spell coffee? And actually wasn't saying coffee at all. He was saying co, as in cobalt, V, vanadium, and two molecules of iron. And you put that together, you run that through ChatGPT, it tells you it will create a force shield against electromagnetic frequencies. So they're able to put a chip on all these 5G towers and able to reduce, you know, the dangerous part of it. So what I'm saying is they wanted to vaccinate the population, right? And they wanted to use the 5G as a zombie amplifier, zombie apocalypse, pop the pineal gland, make them go crazy, you know, people spinning around, right, before they die, myocarditis. But they wanted to create this zombie apocalypse. Yes. That was predictive program back, all the way back in 2011.
Absolutely, yes.
In San Diego. Yeah. Right. And then the CDC comes out with a graphic novel called Zombie Preparedness 2018. Why would they ever join a horror clique, right? Unless there was something behind it. Well, there's something behind it. They were trying to create the zombie apocalypse. And last October on the 4th, they tried to do what? You know, they got the EBS and people like hiding their cell phones and inside a microwave oven, right? It's a Faraday cage. You know, they were scared, but nothing happened because it's already been neutralized in my opinion.
No, I completely agree. 5G, it's part of a compound weapon, right? So it's a weapon that has different parts.
Correct. Right?
So 5G was one part, COVID was one part, and the vaccine was another component of the whole weapon. So it's a compound weapon. And for instance, the vaccine had nanoparticles and nanomachines, but it would interact with 5G and whatever they wanted to from. Right, you are controlling.
They're injecting all these nanobots and metals inside people, and even the ones who are unvaxxed are getting shedded on by all of this nanotech.
Absolutely.
And then of course your body is electrical body to begin with, right? But then you're gonna put more metal in you to make you more, I guess, more amplified or whatever. And the 5G was supposed to then turn people crazy, but they've never been able to produce 100 wacky people in the street. Yeah, they've used a some kind of acoustic weapon at a Travis concert, killed 11 people. Yeah, 150 kids in South Korea got caught in an alley and they got hit with a weapon, but most of them died through the stampede of fear.
Yes, no, absolutely. No, they have developed these psychotronic weapons that can work individually on individual being, but mass populations. I read a book Tom Clancy, when he was still alive, he co-wrote a book with, it was a novel in the late 90s, I think, before he passed away. And yep. It was about a satellite that had a psychotronic weapon that could be used against, to cause people to lose their minds, right? And I believe that's one of the reasons why Tom Clancy, he died, because he was very connected to things that were happening, and he was calling a lot of things out.
And the cover story is he died of cancer, which is
yes.
Yeah.
Well, they can give you fast acting cancers now. You know,
no, so, we're now seeing turbo cancers. The answer
yes. And no, absolutely. Lee Harvey Oswald worked. There was a lady that worked in a lab, and he worked. This was way back in the '60s, and he worked in this lab, and they were working on fast causing cancers.
Yep, so and that book was called Mother's, not Mother, Mary's Monkey something or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yes, I can't remember it, but it was pretty close. Yes,
I read the book about 8 years ago. It's a great book and amazing. So Lee Harvey Oswald in the summer of '63 was in Louisiana, not far mm-hmm. from Dallas, and he was involved in the cancer research, and the whole thing was bizarre.
It was crazy. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's supposed to have a very low IQ. In the Marines, was a nobody, and here he is working in cutting edge cancer development vaccines, and yeah, we can go really deep into that. But I do agree that all of this has been in the planning for a very, very long time, and it sounds ridiculous, but it is not. Once you see the entire picture, then you can see what they're.
Yeah. So let me read. I just pulled up Dr. Mary's Monkey. Subtitle, How the Unsolved Murder of a Doctor, a Secret Laboratory in New Orleans, and Cancer-Causing Monkey Viruses are Linked to Lee Harvey Oswald Assassination and Emerging Global Epidemics. There you go. So basically, the other day, AIDS virus was created in a New Orleans lab by the CIA and DARPA and whoever else were involved.
Oh, absolutely. No, that I don't have it in front of me, but there's a paper that was written, I think, by Gizmodo. The magazine Gizmodo, and they talk about a nano gel that can be injected into the brain, and then using high frequency microwaves can control a person. And this was about 3 or 4 years, just pre-COVID, that I read this.
And nano gel. The technology is there. So we're actually in a race against time. It's one reason why we haven't seen. Everyone's like, why is it taking so long for the global alliance, the white hats, to defeat the enemy? Well, because the enemy is so infiltrated. That in 63, they killed Kennedy. That in 1981, they did an assassination attempt on Reagan to send him a message. And at that point, the White Hat Alliance didn't realize how super infiltrated our government was, from the Satanists, the Marxists, the Fourth Reich fascists, right? I mean, we've been infiltrated by everybody. And it's in all our universities and all our educations everywhere. And so they had to come up with a counter plan to all of this. And they had to... First thing I do is gather intelligence. How do you do that? You actually, you infiltrate their secret societies, their trilateral commission, their Council of Foreign Relations. You have to, right? And why do they bring Trump? Well, Trump, excuse me, is a master of debt. The entire Babylonian banking system of the modern world is a debt-based enslavement system. Trump has dissolved corporations before, companies. He's been down this road. Projects that never worked out. He's worked with the banks. He's worked with the biggest banks in all of Europe. He knows everybody. He also knows how to engineer and de-engineer, you know, banking loans and things of that nature. So he was the ideal candidate on top of being a loudmouth New Yorker. That helped, right?
Yes.
He doesn't doesn't take shit from anybody. Yes. And he's out there calling fake news from day one, right? Yeah. And he's waking all of us up by doing everything he did. Go ahead, Josh.
Absolutely. No, they picked the perfect frontman for this operation. I mean, the guy's a master troll. He's able to get in people's heads when you're negotiating with them. I mean, the way he trolled, not the last, but his first election, presidential election, was genius. And and on top of that, like you said, he's a businessman who knows how to.
Yeah, so if you didn't want to dissolve the USA Incorporated, the Corporation of America, right? So we go back to a republic. Trump was the guy, in my opinion, to lead it, right? He put the right executives, right financial forensic people in place to actually go figure everything out. So he's a master that way.
Yeah, not to mention that his family does have especially his uncle. There's a history there with secret stuff going on. I mean, his uncle got a hold of, he was there at Tesla's apartment and got his papers. And so I know there's more to Trump than people
realize. Oh, there's a lot more. First of all, yes. If you took a picture of his father, Frank Trump, mm-hmm. and you put Donald in the middle, and then you put George Patton on the right of him, well, he looks far, far more biologically connected to George Patton than Frank Trump any day of the week. Even a three-year-old child could see it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's a story about a orphan son named David Patton. So George Patton actually died in December of 45, and Trump was born in June of 46. So 6 months. So this is absolutely biologically possible. You talk about three months span, the last 3 months of George Patton's life. And if he is the blood son of George Patton, that's a big deal. Then the question is, who's his mother, right? I mean, his real mother. I don't know, but it's just... This is like some of these revelations are going to be mind blowing when the truth comes out.
Yes. Part of the great awakening. And I have seen that a lot of people are waking up and kind of realizing, there's something going on here. They don't see the full picture, but they're starting to see there's something.
So speaking of UFOs, could Monday's eclipse actually? When because this eclipse is twice as long as the normal one. So this is a 4-minute eclipse. It's quite a long time in the path, which goes from Texas to through Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, all the way out through New York, Niagara Falls, and out across Maine. Could this reveal spaceships that are hovering outside? Because if you're blocking out the sun, you can see the dark sky behind it. So is that even a possibility? I mean, is this eclipse possibly being part of the disclosure to alien life?
Again, I'm not an astronomer or an astrophysicist or anything of that sort. I know that researching, going to areas where UFOs are seen, the best time to catch them, to video them and photograph them, whatever, is when as the sun is coming down, when the sky starts turning dark. That's when we have caught all sorts of aircraft in the low in the sky and in the upper atmosphere. So I don't see why that would not be possible. The sky is going to darken and there's going to be a diminishing of light.
Yeah.
That's so. I wish I could be out there, you know, with a camera taking.
I was invited, but then I realized, you know, there's so much going on with the government. Right, states of emergency, no trucks.
Yes.
Right. There's a radiological team and chemical weapons team in Oklahoma has been activated. National Guard has been activated. There's no planes in and out. I got a chance to be in a Texas ranch to watch it. And I actually basically turned it down because I realized I need to get back to Florida. Right. So, you know, I don't want to be stranded somewhere for an extra few days or if something worse happened. Right. I don't want to be in the path of something worse happening. And Josh and I, audience, are not predicting anything. We're just bringing out ideas for things for you to look at, right? The possibilities, that's all. We got NASA now with 3 sounding rockets. You know what a sounding missile is, by any chance?
No, I'm not familiar, no.
No, I'm not familiar with it either. I've got to research over the weekend, but I just find that interesting. I'm going to shoot 3 of them into the shadow of the moon. Is that going to interfere with the people's just natural observation of the eclipse? I think it might.
It could. I know that the moon being an artificial satellite, I read a paper not too long ago, but that it's shooting a beam of sodium.
Right.
It has like a comet tail behind it.
It's not right. The moon is not a rock, people.
No, it's not a rock. So it's shooting a beam of sodium into the Earth. So that's what, every time it crosses the path of the Earth, we get shower with the sodium. Now it's acting as some kind of agent to transmit something. I have no idea, but it's really peculiar that they just found this fact. And so this would be a perfect time to shoot rockets up there and see what's happening.
I love it. So you've been working on a new project, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Well, we're trying to because everything paranormal kind of like coins, like there's a nexus of all things paranormal, whether like it's ghosts, psychic abilities, UFOs, everything seems to unify in one area. And we're kind of like bring all of that into frame, right? And actually today, this evening, I'm going to be interviewing a remote viewer that he was a government remote viewer, and he just so happens lives in San Diego. And I don't know, he told me he has a lot of information. He didn't want to talk on the phone. He's going to show me a lot of stuff in his apartment, as far as that.
Right, certain secrets you don't want to talk about on phone, internet, anywhere. You need to do face-to-face, quietly, phones off, that kind of stuff. I'm with you. Absolutely. On that. Do you have a timeline for when this might come out?
I would say late 2024 at best. But we can't do it fast enough because things are just intensifying. Where in previous years you have like maybe one interesting thing or two interesting things happen a year, it's every week we're being called, we're being asked to talk to somebody. People have incredible information. It's just quickening. I don't want to say it, but it's almost like biblical in a way.
Oh no, all of this is biblical in a way. It's in fact, you know what's interesting? You know, we learned about gerrymandering. I talked about the general population of the last 7 years under Trump, under the Q post, right? The Satanists use numerology. They speak in code. They have sign language. The symbol of monster. The three fingers coming down are actually Tav, like the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So you got 666, a monster. You have CERN. It's got a 666. The World Economic Forum is a 666. It's all in our face. So I decided to check out, April 8th is a leap year this year, right? We're in a leap year. I'm like, so what day of the year is it? 99. So I threw it in a gematria calculator. You know what came up? Noah. No, we're in the days of Noah. So I'm like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. Then I checked, you know, the Baltimore bridge collapse happened exactly at 1:28 in the morning. 0128. So I'm like, well, why not? Let's throw 128 into the gematria calculator. What comes up? CERN.
Yes.
I'm like, these are the top results. Noah and CERN. I'm like, wow, this is interesting.
No, absolutely. And I'm a Christian. I was raised a Christian. But for Christians that say like numerology is satanic, there is numerology in the Bible.
The Bible is loaded with numerology. Yes. 40 days. Right. So, 40 days, 40 years to punish your Jewish people for not doing something that God wanted. Right. 40 days Jesus resisted the three temptations of Satan. Right. 40 days for a plague to pass. It was 40, 40, 40. So what do we have on the 8th of April? We got 40 days to what? 40 days of atonement going through the Passover 22nd to the 18th of May. Are you kidding me? This is nothing. Christianity, absolutely, and Judaism, Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew. All of it's loaded with numerology. Yes. It is not satanic. It just is.
It's a very powerful thing, because nature is run by numbers. God created nature to work.
Everything cycles, right? Mm-hmm. You can take your fingerprint and then the ring of a tree, and they're almost like identical, right? You can see a tree leaf and something else, and they're identical.
Yes, ratios.
It's a perfect spiral, right? The 369, the Tesla numbers that he discovered. He just discovered them. He didn't create them. God created them.
Yes, yes.
And so this explains why my autistic son, who was never taught English because he couldn't speak, never taught math because you have no idea if he understands. But he taught himself English at 5 years old. He taught himself math at 10, and at 13, he was decoding using a American cartoon he found in Russian, and he used that. He had full recall of every line of dialogue in all 80 episodes, and he was able to decode the Russian language in a week. He used the mouse, chop go, chop go, chop go, and then he was cutting. You thought it was autistic behavior initially, but it wasn't. He was very methodical. He was chopping up Russian words into syllables into slices of data, and then slices of data into bits of data, and son of a bitch, in a week, he had decoded 30 out of 80, and then at that point, when you decode all of it, he could go through all the episodes, didn't matter. He was so cocky, he put his feet up. You know, 13-year-old, it's great being cocky at 13. Put your feet up on the table, look up here like this at the ceiling, and laugh his butt off. It was awesome. And it was like, I go, Frederick, do you understand Russian? He goes, yeah. Wow. And then I realize God exists through my son, because my son basically simply proved God exists, because the entire universe is nothing but numbers.
Yes, absolutely.
Every language is math based.
Yes.
Music, math. Yes. Ocean waves, math. Everything is math.
Mm. And that just also proves the amazing potential of the human mind. I mean, just your son is proof of that the human mind is has a incredible potential to decipher.
Right. You stop one part of the mind, right? It's social talking, and then another part of his mind completely develops, and like all my PhD friends out of Harvard, Oxford, Stanford, none of them could do what he does.
No.
Right? No. It was just completely insane. So I mean, his IQ's low because he doesn't test well, but who cares? Yeah. I don't care about IQ. It
doesn't matter, no.
No, it doesn't matter because he doesn't test well, but he's smarter than everybody I know.
Yeah, Tesla had his issues too.
No, it's amazing. So we got about 5 to 6 minutes. Talk about how people should prepare for the shit show. I'm just going to call it what it is. When not only the American thugs, BLM and Antifa riot in the cities, because that's what's going to happen, but now they're going to be joined by these criminal gangs that are foreigners, these rebels from overseas, and then even the unrestricted warfare of the PLA soldiers, which are in America.
Okay, so we don't have much time, so I'm going to go really quick on this. What people have to realize, because a lot of people talk about bugging out, going out in the woods or the mountains and stuff like that, that's all good and well. But they have to realize what the dangers are inherent in doing it. Are they prepared? Do they have the right equipment? Do they have the right weapons? Are they going to be able? How long are they going to be able to last out there? Medical precautions. You know, so if you have diabetes or chronic illness, heart disease. On top of like first aid, these are all things people have to. People ask me, what's the best weapon for bugging out? I'm saying, where do you live, right? If you live in the United States, and because people are like, what's better, an AK-47, AR-15? And they tell me like why they like the AK, and I'm like, well, if society, let's say we have a collapse of the economic system, right, and factories stop working, right, and you don't have, so whatever's going to left is you're not going to,
and the supply chain crashes.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to have AK-47 ammo for very long, right? But 5.56 223 is very available, right? Yeah. Learn how to bow hunt, right? Because if you're killing,
buy these containers of dry food that last 30 days per container, right? You get three of them, you got food for 90 days.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a supply of food that's going to last 50 years, but it'll last me a year, right? So if I don't touch it, it'll be there for 50 years and I can eat it in the next 50 years. But the amount of food that I have will last me a year. Water. There's a lot of people are talking about the water supply being tainted, being poisoned radiologically, biologically, chemically.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that part of it being tainted. And you mentioned biologically, radiologically, and they I guess the deep state just froze you for about 30 seconds.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
They froze you because you're telling the truth. But continue. Go ahead.
If you're gonna move or stay, right?
Go ahead. You there?
Taking into account people who are. I'm here. I can see you. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna stay. You're gonna go. You gotta think about you're gonna get in your car, hit the street, out of the mountains, and then there's a crowd of people surrounding your car, right? So a quick answer to that, because we don't have in the military, we call it ISR, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, right? We have the drones out there telling us as we were moving where we were safe to go or not.
Yeah, if you have a drone and the ability with a solar battery as your scout, modern day scout, that's fascinating. Exactly. Especially out in the American West and out in Texas and places like that, the plain states. Right, you could say, well, this is a really bad area. You could set it ahead of time. No, we can't go. A 4x4 off road 4x4 is also very intelligent, right? Wouldn't it be?
No, absolutely. You want to know, practical. It's more practical, right? An all terrain vehicle. But then again, you have to take gasoline or diesel into account. how available it's going to be, how much mileage it's going to give you. Some people will say electric vehicles. I would stay away from electric vehicles.
Totally.
Because if the infrastructure for electricity goes down, you're dead in the water. You're dead in the water.
No, I guess the only good news in this scenario, if this happens between now and August, is the fact we're moving through spring into summer, so you're not dealing with winter nights. You're not dealing with dealing with snowstorms unless you're at the highest elevations. So I think that's good news for people.
Yeah, hypothermia in the winter, heat stroke in the summer. If you depending where you're living, you got to take that into account. The biggest thing, whether you my day job is to train people. I train people, and I get high worth individuals who come in and like train me. And when I go to their mansions or their branches or whatever, and they come out with this really fancy gear, right? And I run them through scenario-based training. Their fancy gear falls apart on the spot.
Of course,
right? All $1,000 guns, $1,000 vehicles, right? They fall apart when you put them through stress. So what's important is if you get this stuff, train with it, get it out, see where the failure points are going to be, so that you don't have an emergency where that's going to happen and during a life or death situation, right? Your gun doesn't work, your truck breaks down, you don't know how to use medical equipment, things of that sort. And that's what
Before all this falls apart, I would, you know, for people, I'd go on to YouTube Rumble and start learning about prepping if you know nothing about it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I tell people, like friends of mine that buy a medical kit, right? It's called IFAC. I forget what the acronym is, but anyways.
Right.
And then, how do I use this? Can you teach me? I'm like, dude, just go to YouTube, look up North American Rescue, right? They make great equipment, but even more so, they make great instructional videos. And if you need to learn how to use a tourniquet, compression bandage, quick clot, right? Or any of that stuff, you can learn it in 5-10 minutes and practice.
And practice on your spouse, partner, children, or vice versa, you know, your friends.
Yes.
Practice would actually help you, you know, all of that. I'm agreeing with you. Josh, where can people find you?
For my YouTube, they can find me at 5MEO Productions and Into the Phenomenon. And for farms training, survival training, medical, emergency medical training, they can find me at info@qrfassets.com or at my website, qrfassets.com, all one word.
Great. All right. You got a minute to close out. Floor's yours. Go ahead.
No, like I said, the biggest thing that I was told in the military is to keep your head, keep your sense about you. Whenever you have whenever I was in an emergency and there was a life or death situation, somebody's life was on the line or my life was on the line, the best thing is stop, think critically, take a deep breath, and think whether your next move is the right move or not. Do not think with your reptile brain, right, with your cerebellum, panic, and then go out there and get yourself hurt.
No. I'm with you. Josh, I will get the two links for you on this and put it in the show notes for the audience. Click on it. And yes, and American Rescue, is that called on YouTube?
Yes.
And North
American Rescue.
North American Rescue, and go learn survival skills. And if you're in a city like New York, I love New York. I love big cities. I'm a city boy myself. But you need a plan B in case the shit hits the fan.
Yes.
When it does this time, the globalists, the cabal, are going to turn that fan on high. All I can tell.
Oh, yeah. They're all building their bunkers and their mountains and stuff like that. So they know that something's coming. They're preparing for something.
Great. Thanks a lot, Josh. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Have a good day.